Although this journey into the great unknown of AI is riddled with blind turns, you can learn from history. These Wright Brothers principles can help you pivot as seamlessly as possible into the right direction instead of careening into irrelevance. Welcome to Irrelevant, the podcast that is all about helping you find relevance in the economy of now. I'm Mike Wheeler, author, entrepreneur, and online instructor. And now here's this week's episode of Irrelevant. Just a few short generations ago, the actual thought of humanity accomplishing powered flight in a machine heavier than air was considered impossible. There were many vocal experts in the late 1800s who did not hesitate to ridicule anyone in the what if crowd, those brave or crazy enough to ask, what if it is possible to take flight? Many visionaries among us stay firmly planted with our heads in the clouds and never return back to Earth to figure out the next important question to answer after what if, which would be how. And it's how is where legacies are built. As they say, ideas are a dime a dozen. Executing on an idea and bringing a vision to reality is priceless. And so we find Wilbur and Orville Wright taking flight on December 17th, 1903 at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And make no mistake, the world changed that day, but the world did not know that mankind had left the ground for 12 seconds and traveled a distance of 120 feet there on the Outer Banks, an area selected far from the Wright brothers' hometown of Dayton, Ohio, 4 summers prior. In fact, only 5 people beyond the Wright brothers were in attendance that day of their first flight. They chose Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, for its wide swaths of unobstructed sandy expanse and the ocean. Both were suitable emergency landing options to avoid death in their high-stakes ambitions if they were to crash. Kitty Hawk also commonly had ideal wind conditions. So it was on that Thursday, December 17th, 1903, at 10:35 a.m. that Orville helmed that first flight, which he later noted was an erratic one, much too short to grow fearful. 12 seconds and 120 feet, a modest start. The second flight found Wilbur at the helm, flying a distance of 175 feet. Next, Orville returned to the flyer's pilot harness and flew for 200 feet. And then the fourth and final flight of the day was a huge leap forward, with Wilbur at the helm covering a distance of 852 feet and 59 seconds. A fifth flight was being contemplated just as a violent wind gust thrashed the flyer about to the point of it being severely damaged. In fact, their first flyer would never take flight again beyond that historic first day. Nature has a way of reminding us who is in charge. That would be enough progress for one day. Now, what is lesser known is that the Wright brothers had other siblings beyond Wilbur and Orville. Their sister Catherine delivered their telegram announcement back home in Dayton, Ohio, of their success to their brother Lauren, who would serve as their press agent upon taking flight. And a strange thing happened. The press didn't seem to care. One hometown editor scoffed at their accomplishments measured in seconds, exhorting them to come back once they had flown for an hour. I see parallels in that news editor's reaction to what I refer to as the 5 stages of AI grief, which I will explore in future episodes here on Irrelevant, but that first stage of AI grief is denial. And denial is exactly where I see that many people are with AI. These are the ones who are quick to quip, AI will never, and then fill in the blank. And that blank is usually filled by some skill that they have spent considerable time developing. The sunk cost that they've invested in their hard-earned skills keeps them in denial that somehow, while AI can detect cancers better than trained doctors, and AI can beat the best chess players in the world, it will somehow fall short in being unable to master their rare and special skill. That talk of AI will never reminds me of those experts from another era who confidently proclaimed that mankind would never accomplish flight. But the Wright brothers had many things going for them that made their success inevitable. The Wright brothers' triumph of their first flight is akin to the philosophical tree falling in the forest with no one there. Does it make a sound? Does anyone notice? And most importantly, does anyone even care? The truth is that most people could care less about trees falling unless it improves their view or one falls on them. Likewise, many of our firmly held beliefs regarding artificial intelligence and its limitations have been dropping like dominoes recently, like trees in the forest. but many aren't heeding the warning signs, and many more are lacking clarity as to what to do in the face of the uncertainty being brought forth by AI. So I offer these principles, which I will call the Wright Brother principles, as markers or milestones in your own AI pivot journey, where you can learn the lessons the Wright Brothers figured out so that you too can achieve flight in your own seemingly impossible pursuits into the great untried and unknown. This 3-episode series is an exploration of principles they put into practice that we can learn from. This is to provide you much needed clarity in charting your own AI pivot. The goal is to get out of today's AI danger zones and improve our view of the future in this emerging era. I'll be drawing extensively from David McCullough's substantial masterpiece of a book, The Wright Brothers, to draw a total of 15 principles I came away with for their practical application in any era. And so here is that book, The Wright Brothers by David McCullough. So let's dive into principle number 1, which I call They Didn't Know Better. Not knowing what you don't know can be a blessing and a curse. The Wright brothers had a vision of flight and a burning conviction it could be achieved. Years later, post-flight, they could enjoy that 20/20 hindsight to inventory all of the obstacles that they had to overcome, the long summers of sacrifice, and the tragedies that were to unfold along the way, which, spoiler alert, I will cover their sacrifices and tragedies in the final episode of this 3-part series. But our inability to truly know the future all at once empowers us to take just the next step, driven forward by an ultimate goal, but keeping blinders on and focused on the immediate task at hand. Had Orville and Wilbur Wright been able to see just how much they didn't know all at once, their dreams of flight would have likely come crashing down at liftoff. There's safety in not knowing everything all at once, so just take the next step. And I'd like to offer up another book recommendation related to this point, and that would be Slow Productivity by Cal Newport. And so here is Slow Productivity by Cal Newport, and here he explores the concept of working at a natural pace and not rushing your most important work. You may find this book helpful in exploring paring down your commitments to that which matters most, obsessing over quality, and getting that which matters most done with time to spare. All right, so now let's go on to the next principle. That is Wright Brothers principle number 2. They weren't well-funded, they were self-funded. The Wright brothers eradicated the phrase, "if only," from their vocabulary. What is not so well known about this time is that the Wright brothers were not the only ones trying to accomplish flight. One notable figure trying to beat them into the air was the Smithsonian Institute's secretary, Samuel Langley, and his Langley Aerodrome. And perhaps you're familiar with the Langley Air Force Base, which honors Samuel Langley. And although Samuel Langley has an Air Force Base named after him, he did suffer a very highly publicized failed attempt at flight as his aerodrome immediately plunged into the Potomac River upon its attempted launch via a catapult system from a large houseboat, and that was on October 7th of 1903. Had Langley been successful, he would have beaten the Wright brothers to flight roughly 2 months earlier than they. A second Langley attempt was made and failed again on December 8th of 1903, just a short 9 days prior to the Wright brothers' successful 4 flights at Kitty Hawk. The press was there on both of Langley's failed attempts and memorialized them as what is known as Langley's folly, heaping scorn on him for wasting public money and their time. You see, Samuel Langley had previously received a U.S. War Department grant of $50,000 in 1898 to build his aerodrome, which took him roughly 5 years to complete. That $50,000 equates to roughly $1.85 million today. So the Wright brothers were competing with those that were well-funded for sure. And I would venture to guess that many of you listening today, if you found yourself as a Wright brother at the turn of their century, would entertain giving up once you heard about prominent well-funded experts entering the race to flight. The derision and ridicule from the "flight is impossible" crowd on one side and the intimidating presence of the formidable and funded players on the other would encourage you to likely fold like a lawn chair in a windstorm. But here is the advantage of the second principle of being self-funded instead of well-funded. You can toil in anonymity and not have divided interests and undue self-induced pressure. Those that are well-funded now have watchful eyes and expectations which weigh them down, and they are obligated to deliver at all costs and simply cannot afford slow productivity, which I mentioned in the previous principle. The well-funded don't hold leverage but are leveraged. Having all the money and resources in the world is no match to the visionary who hungers to disrupt and has deep wells of ability to make their vision a reality through their reservoirs of blood, sweat, and tears equity. As I said, they eradicated thinking like, if only we were funded like Langley, or if only we had more time, or if only we were younger, or only if we were older, if only we had more experience, or only if we had college degrees. Instead, you can flip if only to only if, and I advise that you do so, and say things like, I will achieve my goal only if I figure it out, only if I make it happen, only if I keep working a day job to fund this project, etc. And this leads me directly into the headwinds of my third Wright Brother principle, which is don't quit your day job. Although Kitty Hawk, North Carolina was where the Wright Brothers achieved flight, their hometown and base of operations was in Dayton, Ohio. And their industrious beginnings can be traced back to the formation of the Wright Cycle Company in the spring of 1893. The brothers sold bicycles in their own store, and they eventually took a very important step to one day taking flight by starting to manufacture their very own model of bicycle. Their model was known as the Van Cleve, named in honor of their great-great-grandmother on their father's side. Their marketing motto was that the Van Cleve gets there first, a hint of their goal of flight a decade later to get there first. Their nascent entry into the industry of human transport was two wheels on the ground long before it grew to two wings in the air. Bicycles are finicky, mechanical beasts, and especially in their early days, there was great room for improvement, as is the norm for anything new. Also common with anything new and noteworthy is there will be increasing competition. That competition dictates ingenuity and advancements and updated models year over year. This annual rhythm of improvement would be easily followed and ingrained into the Wright Brothers' core years later with those continual new and improved flyers. And technology never stands still. Whether the bicycle or those early flyers, the human drive always demands higher, farther, and faster. Remember, Van Cleves get there first. The Wright Brothers' day jobs equipped them with invaluable experience with machining and manufacturing and creating their own mechanical inventions and improvements part by part. Running their own business taught them how to find the intersection of their creative vision and market demands and the common sense concept of turning a profit. Remember, the Wright brothers weren't well-funded, they were self-funded. They toiled each winter making next year's model and building up inventory to fund each step of their path towards flight. Their day job had meaning and purpose for their passion project. How this applies to your AI pivot is that although few will make world-altering accomplishments like the Wrights, each of us has the power to change our own world and circumstance, not by fleeing where you are, but by taking inventory of it. What is the market repeatedly telling you? Where are you finding positive reinforcement and feedback? There are clues around you, and the market does inform you. Where do you find yourself gravitating toward? Don't eschew this as being pigeonholed, but perhaps these are tells to your special and unique abilities that you weld and leverage to make fine-tuned adjustments and course corrections. Take note of recurring verticals and industries and job roles on your resume. Also, take note of pain points and friction in your surroundings for yourself and those of others. You can also use AI to help you forecast what changes are likely coming in your industry and job and how you can get out of the danger zone. Remember the trees falling in the forest, and you want to get out of the danger zone and on a higher ground with an improved view or outlook, a perch of safety borne out by attaining relevance in the age of AI, basically. How this is done or practically accomplished is the next principle of the Wright Brothers, which would be number four, which would be to get familiar with your transferable and adjacent skills. The brothers built bicycles. They understood that the best machines in the world, in this instance a bicycle, was nothing more than a glorified doorstop if its rider did not have the requisite skills to ride it. We now say that many things are like riding a bike. Once you learn that skill, it becomes second nature and you can return to it after protracted seasons off of the bike. So about that skill of riding a bike, what that entailed was a certain time and trial and error on the part of the rider until they grew their coordination and command of balance and equilibrium. And what the Wright brothers discovered in their early versions of their gliders is that one could steer it while suspended lying flat on their stomach, using equilibrium and balance, and especially their hips, to make large course corrections with the slightest of imperceptible shifts, much like that of a bicycle. Simply put, if the Wrights did not have deep expertise and practical knowledge related to equilibrium and balance on two wheels, they never would have been able to unlock the secrets of flight. They knew that the winning equation was man and machine working in concert, finding equilibrium and balance, empowering an experienced and skilled navigator to take command of the mysterious machine. The same holds true for you today in this age of AI, which is our generation's mysterious machine of the moment. There are many skills you already have and many more adjacent skills in the emerging skills graph that you can quickly command. Now, this may be the first you have heard of the skills graph, or you may be curious what it is. I will touch on the skills graph more during principle number 14 in the final episode of this three-part series here on You're Relevant. All the more reason to subscribe. Hint, hint. And now, all the years that the Wright brothers toiled in their bicycle shop was not wasted, but was instrumental. The same is true of your own skill stack. The time has not been wasted. Your skill stack can serve as scaffolding from which you can stand from as you build your next creation that only you can. Think of this as next year's model of you, new and improved for these changing times. So start studying the skills graph, skills taxonomies, and skills adjacencies. These will serve you well into the AI era, and you will find that these small shifts can sway your fortunes. And for a book recommendation related to tiny changes bringing remarkable results, I'd be remiss not to put in a plug for James Clear's Atomic Habits. Think of iterating yourself, building next year's model today. This clarion call to experiment to try to improve may scare you, because hypothesis without testing only leads to unproven theories. You have to experiment and put these new skills to the test to confirm you can acquire them or not. This may lead to failure, which we'll strive to redefine in the next principle, and that would be the fifth and final principle in this particular episode. Wright Brothers principle number 5, they didn't care what other people thought. While making the transfer from bike to eventually planes, the Wright brothers exhibited what many onlookers thought were suspect behaviors. Wilbur and Orville were obsessed with birds, and they watched them in flight almost religiously. They drew birds, they mimicked birds' movements, noting that the slightest change to their tip of their wings or their head positioning would make massive changes to their flight. They marveled at how effortless birds made flight look and how long they could glide from a single flap of their perfectly aerodynamic wings. Their relentless pursuit of flight led them to doing things publicly that would and did invite ridicule. They simply didn't care what others thought. In this age of always-on social media and connectedless connections, a social contagion grips most when trying something new: the fear of failure and the fear of what others will think. To borrow from Stephen Sondheim's song from Company called Another 100 People, I equate this to that now, every single day, another 100 damaged dreamers get off the bus and settle in to lick their wounds and to commiserate what could have been. And their course begins with "if only" instead of "only if." These damaged dreamers now exist to spit on those delusional dreamers who dare to try something new and to commit the unforgivable sin in the social graph, which is to fail. What these detractors have lost sight of is that their victories do not hinge on others' defeat or vice versa. And perhaps you fear the slings and arrows being launched by strangers, or worse still, from friends and family who, come to find out, don't actually want what's best for you, but for them. The Wright brothers consumed their time with overcoming obstacles and not opinions or objections from others. Their first flyer now resides in the National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. Other people's opinions and their mocking of the Wright brothers hangs in the air of history, not making a sound, much like a tree falling in the forest with no one there to hear it or care. What must the well-funded Langley have thought of them before his own doomed attempts at flight? And of note is that the Wrights didn't celebrate Langley's defeats, because they knew too well just how hard what they were trying to accomplish was. And I'm reminded of Thomas Edison's famous quote, "I have not failed 10,000 times, I've successfully found 10,000 ways that will not work." And here I'd like to recommend yet another book, missing its cover, but on the spine you can see here The Wizard of Menlo Park by Randall Strauss. If you want to learn more about Edison and his 10,000 ways of finding what doesn't work, you can check that book out as well. So you will likely need to pivot soon, thanks to AI. And with any pivot, there is a time of dual track to be laid. You have who you have been in the confines of your own platform. And what I mean by your own platform is those would be your connections and professional experience represented on the social graph, such as LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or wherever you have elected to try to build a presence or communicate what matters to you and how you represent yourself to the world at large. And then there is the second rail of where you would like to head. Finding an alignment and smooth transfer from now to next can be negotiated. Although this journey into the great unknown of AI is riddled with blind turns, you can learn from history. These Wright Brothers principles can help you pivot as seamlessly as possible into the right direction instead of careening into irrelevance. So let's recap these first five Wright Brother principles. Principle number one, they didn't know better. Principle number two, they were well-funded, not self-funded. Principle number three, don't quit your day job. And principle number four, get familiar with your transferable and adjacent skills. And principle number five, don't care what others think. There is much, much more to unpack and learn from the history of the Wright Brothers to inform our paths today. But don't just take my word for it. Here is a quote from the back cover of the Wright Brothers book from CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai. And let me read that for you. So he says of this book that this is a story that resonates with anyone who believes deeply in the power of technology to change lives. That, once again, is Sundar Pichai, CEO of Google. And so be sure to like, review, and subscribe to this podcast so you are alerted to future episodes on Tuesdays. Next up are episodes 3, which is called Doubters in Dayton, followed by episode 4, which is called Flight Fanatics in France, to round out this 3-part series on the Wright Brothers and the total 15 principles that I found that will help you to navigate your own AI pivot into the future from now to next. So thank you for joining me here at URelevant.